Charlie, Delta Lima, Charlie, radio test. Kilo 5, Charlie, Delta Lima, Charlie, radio test. How long did you let the car warm up for? About 5 minutes. Maybe a little bit longer. I don't know. I came down the stairs and nailed it. Proceeded to get dressed. So not a ton. It's okay. It's not terrible. But man, I tell you what, it's frigid. It is not warm, that's for sure. You know that farting noise I told you that I get out of this Yaesu? It's happening like after every transmission now. I want to hear that, and I need to show you what mine does too. You know what's crazy is I've like narrowed it down to like as soon as the truck's warm, it kind of goes away. So I don't know if it's a battery thing where, no, it can't be because I got that voltage regulator on it. So yeah, I think it's just temperamental. Yeah, this one here is like when the audio circuit shuts down, when it's cold, it does this like, and it's like, I don't know, it's like, sounds like a fart. And, yeah, it's just doing a lot right now, so obviously. Of course, could be, you know, voltages down with this everything getting this full. All right, here, I'm in downtown Grosse Pointe. They just built a new Starbucks right here. I see the old one is now Lucky's coffee shop. The new one is right here, and if it's open, I'm going to run in. It does or it does not look like it's open. It does look like it's open. I could go for a hot cup of coffee right about now. I thought it was a good idea to grab a Monster, which I need to stop drinking anyway, but here we are. You know what, on second thought, I think I'm going to go to the one on Max, because that's a drive-thru. This one here is right downtown Grosse Pointe, so it's a walk-in only. So I'm going to go to the one on Mac. That's got to cut in the sales. I think if it were anywhere else, I think it would, but I don't know if you've been to the Grosse Pointe. In particular, they got each one of the points has got a little city center with little shops and stuff like that. They're very bustling in the when the weather permits, of course. And I'm sure they do a lot of walking business. On a day like today, I'm not sure. You know, I'm sure people may be going to the Trader Joe's right next door. Or something, or the Kroger's across the street would maybe partake, but since they're right there in Park anyhow, it's just a little tiny walk, except for when it's 3 degrees, people look even a little bit of a tiny walk, and they say, yeah, I'm going to skip it. Way too cold to walk today. Yep. Morning, Nick. Go ahead, Dakota. My buddy at work lives in Grosse Pointe. He tells me all about how they got all those little shops and things like that. So I think I know what you're talking. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I know where he's talking to. There's a cigar lounge down in Churchill, concentrate in that same general vicinity, I think, if I'm thinking the right spot. But. Good morning. 94 and 59 headed to the 50.
Well, good morning. Just getting a little bit of an early start. I don't think I have any more. In fact, I might have a shorter ride into work from here. Just hop right on 94 and take that all the way up to right where you are right now. So this may be a quicker route. But I'm trying to find coffee. That's the only problem is, unless I go to the one, yeah, that's not a bad idea. That means I'm not going to have my coffee for about 15, 20 minutes, but if I go to that one right there at Hall and 94, I can, I'm going to get it right now. Damn it, I need my coffee. You almost need one for the ride and one for the desk. I know what you mean. You got to weigh it out. Would I rather sit at my desk and drink my coffee, or would I rather drink my coffee on the way in?
I don't know. I don't drink coffee, but I don't know if that would be a good one. I usually have to have a water or something on the way in to wet the palate. But I find that I get into things at work and don't drink it if I have it there. If that makes sense. John?
Yeah, well, normally I do try to get my coffee just before work. There's one coming up Grosbeck just before work, and then if I take 94, there's one right off 94 just before I get to work. And then that way I have it at work, which is usually my MO. But today I just feel like one right now, damn it. Like Dakota says, maybe I'll get another one. But I just feel like one now. And, you know, all my tires are reporting low. 28. They're all reporting low. Let's see, there's the Starbucks. And the traffic does not look bad. So, this is do not enter. What TF are they talking about? I was going to make a coffee this morning, and my wife decided to descale the Keurig last night, and it tastes like vinegar, so monster it was. Speaking of drive-thrus, I don't know if you do Chipotle, either of you, but the one at Grosbeck finally opened at 59, and that thing's, they're awesome. That was the best Chipotle I've ever had.
Oh, never did the Chipotle drive-thru. Ate there, but not that one. Been trying to stick to the make it at home meals. It's a little expensive to be out again, so I'm trying to curb costs. Need a little help here, I guess. I'm trying to keep that A1C number in check to where it needs to be. So trying at least.
Sean must be ordering. Yeah, I was. Right as I pulled in, I looked and right in front of me is a Chipotle. Right as you were saying the words, the sign was right in my face. I have been to that one. You're talking about the one that's by the Myers there, out in front of the Myers by Cass and Grosbeck. I'm pretty sure you must be talking about that one. No, there's a brand new one. It just opened a week or two ago, maybe a little longer, right at, it's on the southwest side of 59 and Grosbeck, on the other side of the gas station. I think it's Speedway right there, maybe? I don't know. There's a gas station right there on the corner. It's just west of there. They got the Chipotle lane, so you can order your burrito or whatever on the app and then just pull up to the window, grab it, and go instead of having to go inside.
The Chipotle. That's ingenious.
Okay, so I'm trying to picture it. I can picture Grossbeck in 59. I know the Speedway. I thought right immediately west of the Speedway was that car wash, the Jack's car wash. Between that, it's this tiny little building sandwiched between, there's something else there too that I share the parking lot with. But there's two new buildings there. One of them's Chipotle between the gas station and the car wash, and I don't know what the other one is. But if you're, if you can pull, I'm almost positive you can pull into the gas station from that parking lot.
Yeah, I haven't been over that way in a while, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, I cannot say the same. But I've not noticed it. Must be, like you said, brand skippy, because I do not recall seeing it. I'll probably see it today in a few minutes. But I've never been a big fan of them, only because I'm indecisive, and I don't put things together really well when it comes to food. You know, when I look at a menu that a place like that where you get to pick everything that goes into the bowl or everything that goes in the burrito, I end up picking everything I like, and things don't go together, right? It's like, you know, I go, oh, I like that, I like that, I like that, I like that. But there's an art to getting the right things together to make the right, you know, and I don't have that gift. So I hate that. I wish they just had some, like, you know, give me the such-and-such burrito, you know. I just wish they had some things there that I didn't have to decide how to put it together and build it. There is a little bit of choice paralysis that goes with ordering there, but I've got my order down to where I don't even deviate anymore. It's just a chicken burrito, white rice, pinto beans, queso, cheese, and guac, and hot sauce. So, but I get what you mean. I did the same thing. I was trying to order, you know, I was trying different things when I first started going there, and then I landed on what I liked, and I haven't changed it. They're my go-to for when I'm eating out at work and I'm trying not to eat garbage, you know, like Burger King or Taco Bell, or just trying to eat better in general, because I don't feel like Chipotle is too terrible for you. And that new one's convenient because it's like 3 minutes from my office heading east versus going to the one at Lakeside, so I'm a fan. Well, you guys doubled and you won, so Nick, go ahead.
I was saying I was in the same boat as you. I don't do good with that, making yourself choices. The stuff I know I'm supposed to eat, I don't ever put in there, and the stuff I'm not supposed to eat goes in there, and then I have problems throughout the day or whenever the rest of my time that day. It just doesn't go well.
Yeah, it's not so much that with me. It's just that I end up putting, you know, it's like I kitchen sink it. Like, I just go down the list, and everything I like, I figure I got to get in there, and things just don't go together, you know? It's like, oh, I like strawberries, okay, yeah, throw that in there with the pintos, you know? I mean, that's exaggerating, but, you know, it's I gotta learn to just put something together that's, you know, just the right combination. Like, yours sounds like you got the right combination, and I gotta look at it and think about it. I could probably do it, but I always, oh, yeah, throw that in, oh, yeah, throw that in. Like, no, that ain't the way to do it. So my problem is just kitchen sinking it. I don't have a problem with it. It just doesn't end up tasting good. It's like a monstrosity. I would recommend ordering on the app then, because you can see everything, and then you can kind of think about what you want to put in there. Man, what is this traffic today? 53 is like a single file line. FYI, Sean, Richmond is not linked. I don't know if that's intentional or not, but I just kicked over there and I was not coming through. Just kidding.
I say it was linked a few minutes ago when I was on it.
No, I reprogrammed my 500 and it imported everything, and I still didn't have Richmond updated like an idiot, so that's my bad. It still says 625.
Sean must be at the window. But I'm, No, just got another week to go before I can go to warm down south, so the other half goes tomorrow morning. I'm going to go to the airport early to the office. Up and out the door early tomorrow morning. Go to the airport first before the office. It's a long day tomorrow. Plus late night tonight, fire night, so that'll be fun.
All right, I was at the window. So now I got to figure out, I went south. I thought this light that I'm going through right now was Cashew, and in fact it's not, so I should have went north. But here I am. I've still got plenty of time, I think. I don't know, 7:01. I'm down in the points. Oh well, we'll figure it out. And my darn camera, I got a camera that ever since I've seen some of the videos of the scammers trying to break check in to rear-ending them, I got myself a camera. And normally when you fire up the car, immediately it says, Mio 5 is here for you. And which is kind of annoying, but it lets you know it's on a recording. And I actually drove about a half a mile before it said that. So I'm wondering what the hell's going on there. Oh, well. Here's my road. So now I'm on track. This is a whole new experience for me. I've never had to leave for work in the morning from this area here. So, all right, I'm on track. I know where I'm going. Dakota? Your dash cam's probably frozen. Real quick, I don't know, Nick, if you have a 500, but Sean, above the big VFO dial where the little arrow light is indicating if you're on like VHF, UHF, VFO, changes colors, do you have a white little bar, like light above that? I do. Don't ask me what it is, but I do. All right, so I'm losing my mind. I don't ever recall seeing it, but one day I noticed it. Go ahead, Nick.
I was going to say I don't. I'm still, in fact, my Yaesu is still in the tub at home from when I decommissioned it out of my Escape 2 cars ago. I used the Motorola in the car anymore.
Oh, you say you don't have the Motorola in the car anymore? I got mine in a box. I've been meaning to. If I get the P25 back up and cooking, I'll probably throw it back in the car. Because it's a handheld control head, so I can just, throw the handheld control head under the seat and grab it when I want it or need it. So, but I haven't had it deployed for some time. I just got this FTM 500 in here. I may go back to the 200. I thought the 200 was a great radio for the mobile. I don't need all this in here. Move this thing into the house or something. The speaker in the head is nice, though. So, there is that. Dakota. I will be getting that Kenwood as soon as it comes out. I keep forgetting. Actually, I'm going to do that when I get to the office. I got to buy my reservation.
No, I'm running the 7500 in the car. The FTM 400 is still in the box, in the decommissioned tub in the garage with all the parts. I just haven't touched it. No room in here to put it. I should take it to Florida with me and put it in the Jeep down there. But I just haven't. I don't know how long I'm going to keep the Jeep down there and make it something different. But that could be. Thought about it.
I like the 400. I thought it was a great radio. The only knock I have on it is, and it applies to all the Yaesus, is no banks. I don't know how they make a radio without banks. So, it's got 1,000 memories, Yeah, it's just one big nasty list of everything. So if, I suppose you could put all of, like if you're traveling and you're, let's say you're in Indianapolis, a lot, you you could have all the indie repeaters in a certain section and just roll up to that section and just stay in that area. You know, but it's just, it's not the same as banks. Banks make it a lot easier. I just can't fathom how they haven't gotten to banks in these damn radios. And other than that, I think they're pretty much spot on. Little niggly things here and there. Nothing really pronounced. I feel like ASU is the redneck of radios. It's kind of just cobbled together, not well thought out. Still an Icon guy, but if that new Kenwood's anything like that THD-75, I think it'll be worth every penny. Hopefully it's not. If they're charging $750 for a handset, I'm sure that'll be probably about $1,000, right, John? Hard to say, but their current, I think it's Nick's turn, sorry. But their current flagship VHF UHF radio is $600, and so I can't imagine that's going to be less. Nick, sorry.
Oh, you're good. Well, I had nothing to really add to that one. I need more casual. Probably just like getting on right now as I'm going by.
Let's see, hold on. Alright, just to get things back in order here, sorry, because I screwed up. Yeah, and the look, too, it looks like they're going to that look that ICOM and ASU have kind of adopted with their little unit. So, you know, it begs the question, are they working on a replacement for the, for the 480, which is currently their mobile? Great radio, don't get me wrong, but are they currently working on something that's going to maybe compete with, you know, either the 705 and the FT, whatever that new little one from Muse is going to be, or even, something. Do they got a mobile in the works? I think if somebody came out with a mobile hitting that form factor that we're used to, that had like a matching add-on amp to take it to 50 or 100, man, I think they'd clean up. Because then the people would buy them, the QRP guys would buy them, you know, and then there's a lot of us that aren't really QRP guys. They got them 705s, and they'd have a little amp that slapped on the back. Hoo-wee! Man, that'd be a gold mine. I think Yaesu might have that up their sleeve with that little one that they're going to introduce. But I don't know. We'll see. And as far as Yaesu, I've never been a fan of Yaesu's, but they do seem to... You know, they seem to be, they come to the party with, I mean, the kitchen sink. They've always had, you know, the other manufacturers come out with stuff, and then when theirs comes out, it has, like, it's got all the things you wish the other ones had. But it's always a little squirrely in some respect. And, I mean, not always, but often, I remember, particularly back in the day. And Kenwoods were always, you know, the least featured, but the best of them all, as far as, you know, quality. That's the way it was. I can't say that's the way it is anymore. Back in rotation, Dakota. I think pretty much every HT from the big three in the last two or three years that they've come out with, and the Kenwood is far none the most jam-packed, good one that I've used. It just all makes sense. It's like using an old cell phone, honest to God. It's like an old Nokia. Super, super nice, and I'm hoping that's how their mobile is. I don't really care that it's tri-band, because I don't think there's any of that going on around here, but I agree. I feel like Yaesu, you know, they're the kitchen sink, they're the jack of all trades, master of none situation. Nothing against that 710. That was a good rig. I don't think it was, it wasn't what I wanted, because I'm not too huge at operating at home, so big fan of the 891, though. Go ahead, Nick.
I guess I don't have enough experience with the other two. I've only had the 82, so I guess I don't know how the other two perform. I need some other amps. For the most part, every day. So that's where my bread and butter lies. Radio has been an excellent radio, no problems at all, and I like the handheld form factor that it provides.
Yeah, I haven't decided whether I'm going to skip the 400 down to Florida and put it in the Jeep down there. We were talking the other day about maybe getting something different, van or something down there. Just Jeep stuff. Got some rust starting and some other things. Don't need four-wheel drive and all that down there. It was a get or buy for up here, and just happened to got taken down there. So we had to have a rental car every time we went down. So, but might be time to venture to something else. Sean?
Yeah, it's a lot of radio to stick in something you're not going to use all that much. But I do, like I said, I do like my 400. But in some respects, I like it the best of the bunch. That's the one I currently run at home. A nice big display. But just a note, your audio got quite light the last couple of transmissions. And it's a little bit of a struggle. Just FYI. Oh, and Dakota, I heard you say something about Richmond being down, but then you said, just kidding, or no, or something like that. So I take it was just some operator error type thing. It was an ID10T moment. I don't know, programming this 500 pisses me off. So I read the card again the other day after I had it was Bloomfield, after my trip out to Livonia, and apparently I never updated Richmond, so I was still on the 625. So I'm going to bring it in the office, I'm going to go through it again, and organize my, you know, I think I've got, because I've got all the Marine and MERS and all that, GMRS, FRS in there, and I want to say there's like 200 or 300 channels I have in here, all in one single file line, so I'm going to bring it in the office and go organize it, and I'm here anyway, so I'm going to jump out. Good talking to you, gentlemen. Have a good day, and maybe I'll catch you on my way out of here. N8DDF. I'll be clear for yours.
Have a good one, Dakota. Yeah, my audio probably went light. I was 94 and Grash at Mount Elliott area. Down in the bowl. Probably why it's getting a little light here. Might be getting a little better now.
Well, you're making it in okay, RF-wise, just the audio's low. So, I don't know, it just seems like it's lower now than it was when you first started out, but maybe you're on a different repeater or something. It could be on the repeater end, I don't know. Anywho, compared to Dakota, you're quite low. Now, I don't know, maybe I'm low too, and it's Dakota's really hot, but I seem to have my volume control up a little bit further than normal with when trying to hear you. So, anyhow, just FYI, I can turn up the volume and hear you. Just got to make sure I turn it down before the next guy comes in so he don't blow me out.
Yeah, I wonder if this radio needs to be put on the old tuner, too. I've never had it done. I've had it in here for almost 2 years now, so it might need a little tune up, if you will. 94, going over 75 right now. Yeah, I'm in the machine. I don't know why it got light.
Anybody else in the mix here this morning? Dakota checked out. Anybody else confirm that what I'm hearing is, or am I just the same?
WARCY, waving a hand, good morning. Sean, you sound fine. Everybody else is starting to slowly die out from what I'm hearing.
All right, so I am definitely louder than Nick.
I can't see my settings on my radio right now, but you're definitely, I wouldn't say hot because you're not over mod, but if I were to adjust from you, my radio, everybody else would be quieter, including Dakota.
All right. Well, maybe it's someone's control head. Maybe the microphone's starting to go. I've seen that before. John?
All right. That just throws a monkey wrench in my theory, because Dakota was quite stout. His audio was was up there, and my volume control was about in its normal position, but I have to run it up about halfway to hear you anywhere near as well as I was hearing Dakota. So that means that Dakota and I both running the same kind of radio would be hot or something. I don't know, but then there's overdriven. So if you're not overdriven, you're not, you know, hot has a very specific definition. So I'm confused. We'll just leave it at that. I'll deal with it. And drink my coffee. Good morning, Donald. And staying warm.
Staying warm is easy. But as far as my radios go, I walk around the apartment all day on an HT. I set the volume, and whether I'm on this side or the other side of the world, that's why I always say, you know, Jack, don't yell into the radio because you just blow my radio and my ears out. I have one set setting for each radio. I don't know what I'm on right. I mean, I'm on my Boomerang right now because I forgot to charge my Wooks on. And I don't have the actual setting because I'm still in the dark here. Yeah, that's how I set my radio. So on my Wooks on, I set it about 10 o'clock and forget it. My Motorola's, I set it about 12 noon, forget it. And this one here is like at about a 6 o'clock position after spinning the dial around, set it, forget it. And that's where I judge people as to who's hot, who's weak. I mean, I'm not as much as professional as you are, Sean, but you catch the gist. You know, I set it, forget it, and walk away. And I can hear it anywhere within my apartment, all the parties talking. So that's just my take on it.
Yeah, it's weird. Who knows? Too many variables, I guess. But I'm going to say 7-3 as I'm pulling up to the gate to swipe the badge to get the gate open. So I will catch you guys on the flip side this afternoon. 7-3-3 at NFC.
All right, Nick, catch you later. What the heck? What time is it? 7:19. I'm still on track for getting to work on time. So I did a good portion of your drive, about half of your drive today, all 94. Take care. See ya.
All 94, Sean? Did you take, like, the scenic route in?
No, I was at my daughter's place last night, and I just went to work from there. So I had to watch. They went out. They went to a concert. I watched the grandkids. So they got. I don't even know what time they got in. I was sleeping, and got up this morning. Just went straight to work. That way they didn't have to rush home, and I didn't have to, drive home in the middle of the night just to get a couple hours sleep. So, it was all 94. I'm just getting off now.
Well, time with the grandchildren is, quite good, so that was probably good for the soul there, too, to spend time with them. So, all right, well, I'll let you mosey on in. I'm going to go back and find my cup of coffee. And I was listening to most of the conversation. I heard you guys going all the way back to Chipotle there and the one at Grosbeck and Hayes or something, or Grosbeck and M59. So I was trying to picture it too. But all right, everybody, have a great day. We'll be monitoring. We'll be on the Boomerang today because I forgot to drop the Wooks on in the charger last night. So that's about it here, and again, all the best. W8RCY.
All right, Donald, we'll catch you later. I'm about a quarter mile from where that new Chipotle is, so I guess I'll see it here in a second. Put it on my list of places to check out. I brought my I bought my lunch today. The kids wanted pizza last night. I don't do pizza nearly as much as most people, and a lot of times I try to avoid it. So I got myself a really good chicken picante from this Mama Rosa's down there, Mac and Alter. So right there, right at the cusp, and it was pretty damn good, but it was so much, and I got lunch. So I don't need lunch today, so I'll have to put that in my memory banks for next time. All right, catch you later. WRCY W8FU.
W8FSM, W8FSM, CABY.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Were your ears ringing or bleeding or ears? What is it when somebody's talking about you, your ears ringing?
I don't know. One felt kind of plugged up, like there might be soap in it or something.
Anyhow, node's sounding good. I am just sitting down to lunch, though. I watched the kids last night, and we ordered Italian. I couldn't eat it all, so I warmed it up for lunch here, so just sitting down to it. What else was I going to say? Oh, how's the weather? And then I'm going to get to my lunch.
I'm outside in the patio right now. It's nice. I'm enjoying it while it lasts because it's only one more day.
All right, yeah, you said you'd be back here Thursday. So, and then how long are you here for? Because we'll get in another buddy breakfast.
Three weeks. I got some appointments, but I got some, you know, personal business I got to take care of, some tax stuff and all that. So whenever I get done, I go back. But, yeah, I don't, definitely not sooner than 2 weeks anyways. Anyhow, I'll let you get to your lunch. I'm going to be in and out. I just got everything all set up here yesterday, so I might be on the air. Well, I will be on the air if I'm in the shack, and I've been in the shack a lot. Catch you later, Anita.
Okay, sounds good. Well, it sounds like you'll be here enough for us to have lunch plans, dinner plans, whatever, breakfast plans. Okay. W8FQ. Off to lunch.
MATPP Mobile.
W8F mobile.
From Howard.
I just got on that ramp 5 minutes ago.
Are you downtown here?
Yeah, my building's between the service drive and 6 between Lafayette and Fort.
Really? I was in the building just north or just east of the Presbyterian Church there on Fort.
Yeah, I'm in the building with the four-letter word starts with an M, ends with a T, and they take care of the road.
Well, that sounds like trying to keep them up and running as a very crucial part.
Well, I work for the state law enforcement agency, so yeah, keeping their stuff running is important.
Well, that sounds like fun. I was fixing the magnets on doors and tripping off siren.
Well, that sounds like really fun, actually. I like making people go deaf.
Well, that all depends on which siren you want to trip off. Now, I love working on, you know, being with the fire alarm stick and doing those inspections because they're like, okay, pull it. And you pull it, make all the strobes go off, all the sirens go off, shut the fans, you know, make a whole bunch of a lot of loud noises and blinky blinky lights. That's my favorite. Besides that, you know, just doing VA testing kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Yep, nope, I know exactly what you're talking about. No heavy traffic here, just east of 75 and 94, but it's
I'm just getting on this ramp to 75 north from the lodge in front of the crane building. Everybody's going slow.
Yeah, I tend to take that curve a little slower. It's smart.
I started a little early today, ending a little early today, but I'm heading up to Auburn Hill in front of the office. I'll see if I can find some stuff in far away land to do tomorrow.
Yeah, I gotta run to the airport before work tomorrow. I'll drop the better half off to Florida. And then I'll go right into the office, work for a while, and probably head home around noon. That way, the four-legged person at home doesn't have to stay in the cage all day long. Do her thing.
Driving to Florida, or are you flying to Florida?
Our better half is flying tomorrow, and I'm flying next Thursday, going down.
With the four-legged office family for Columbia City.
You were scratchy in that last one, don't you?
On the Warren Tower over here. No, I said you're dropping the fluffers off to a babysitter.
Yeah, I'll take her to doggy boarding next Thursday morning, and then I'll head to the airport. Got to fly out at like noon or 1, something like that. So drop her off at Mount 10 and dump in the truck and head to the airport.
Well, there you go. Usually when I fly it, I go with a coworker and we take his truck to the airport. I don't feel like spending money on storage.
Yeah, good thing when I go is my parents live in Lincoln Park, so I just go pick up my dad. He drops off at the airport and take the truck back home. Don't have to worry about paying for it. And he'll come pick us both up on the 4th at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So saves a little bit of money. It would be about $80 a park for 5 or 6 days, but sometimes I do. It just depends on what kind of flights there are, if I'm going to inconvenience them or not.
Yeah, my uncle used to come in. He used to drive in from Ontario, stay at a hotel over by the airport, fly down to Florida for a couple days, do an event, fly back up, go back to the hotel. You know, he got free parking, so he had free shuttle. But now he changed it, but he actually takes a shuttle from Ontario, from London, to Metro, and flies down and then flies back and gets picked up and goes back to Ontario. Lots even in flying out of Toronto.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, that's not a bad deal either. Yeah, I don't fly on the... I'm just flying the cheap carrier. Spit. No, not Spit this time. Frontier this time, but it'll probably be one of the last. So they're getting horrible.
If I fly on a company business, which is extremely rare, they put us on Eastern Coach. Red Eye. The cheaper the better, I guess.
Yeah, if I go business and I'm not paying, I'm going on Delta because it's not my dime, so that's usually what I do.
Well, they're not flying Delta and landing on a snowy runway at Pearson.
Yeah, that does lend itself to be a little bit of a problem, but usually where I'm going, usually warm, so not that an issue, usually, but you never know these days.
During that last part, I got a phone call coming in.
So you had NFC monitoring.
I shipped my pants!
Oh, there he is. Hey, is the audio any better now? Or is it still bad?
Sounds good to me.
Maybe it got warm earlier and started acting funny.
Maybe the little pee hole on the microphone was so cold it shrunk.
That's very possible. That's 100% possible. It was cold today. I was out on the road most of the afternoon. I left and went to Brighton and came back and went to the old park post and went back to the office.
There you go! Oh, man! So you were at the Oak Park office, eh? I don't hear you there often.
No, I dropped the computer off there for one of the ATME techs to pick up, and then I've been working with a troop on a GPS issue from Cradle Point. So he was over at the court, so I popped over there to work on his car while he was in court. Come to find out, we got a dock problem with the laptop, so that's got to be taken care of this radio shop. So more work. Not for me, though. I did my part.
I'll tell you what, docking station issues and apparatus and vehicles is just makes me tear my hair out, man. You got IT, you know, saying, oh, the computer's okay, and, you know, it's you know, but they're supplying them and all that stuff. They feel like their obligation ends, you know, at the docking station. So I just, the whole thing just is just a bitter pill with me. And they're always problematic. It's just a bad environment for that kind of stuff.
Oh, I'd agree 150,000% on that. And then throw GTAC in the middle of it. Those computers are junk. And we went with them in two of our districts, and we hate them. Good thing they're up for replacement this year, so we're going back to Dell. Don't have near the problems we have with the Dell dock. So. And the funny thing is, this dock's been replaced several times already, so I don't know if they keep putting a broken one back in there, a refurbished one, or just a POS.
I'll tell you what, nobody here pulls them in and out. You know, that's verboten. We don't, so they really wouldn't have to be a dock, you know, a laptop with a dock. So I wonder why they don't go to like a fanless NUC, you know, and do something like that. It seems like it'd make a lot more sense.
Yeah, the only problem we have is they do pull them out because they put the USB-C dock in all the squad rooms, so each trooper uses their own computer if they go into the post to write or use their computer or whatnot. That's where we get had. They stop buying desktops for the offices. Everybody's using their laptop, but that lends itself to more wear and tear and pins and dirt and all kinds of crap.
Oh, my God, the minute you said that we pull them in and out, I just was like, oh, just the thought of it makes me a little nauseous.
Yeah, the Dells are much better than the GTAC. The Panasonics are much better than both of them, I can tell you that.
So stupid multi-pins underneath the laptop still, guys, or these are the USB-Cs now?
Well, docking stations tend to have, you know, a gazillion pins. I have not seen anybody use the USB-C, but I'll tell you something about that. USB-A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know, they bust them off, you know, unless you can find a way to plug them in and protect them. They're always whacking and hacking, stuff like that, so I don't know that that's really any better, you know, unless you can get inside the computer case to fix the boogered up jack. I don't know. Nick?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on one. They're going to find a way to break it either way, so like you said earlier, environment. And it's just the environment.
I didn't catch who jumped in there. I think you were chit-chatting before I hopped in. I didn't catch who it was, so go ahead and put yourself in the rotator.
Yeah, it's PKKGO. As we use docking stations at the office, but we got the USB-Cs and the little tape on the desk.
Admit.
Yeah, I wish they would do that. Just buy desktops and tell them to leave them in the cars. Oh, somebody had a grand plan that just saves money, blah, 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 blah. In the long run, it really doesn't.
Yeah, I'd like to explore that. I mean, why don't we use, you know, like a fanless NUC in these things? And then, you know, you'd have a video cable, but, you know, I mean, provided they're installed, you know, properly with proper strain relief and stuff like that, shouldn't be an issue. You know, a keyboard goes bad. As long as it's not the connector, that's the part that kills you. If it's a connector on the, you know, on the device, then, you know, you're in bad shape. But, you know, you could even put a, you know, secure a connector into the device protect the device really, really well, and then just have a cable dangling, you know, just like a short little jumper, so that you're never really plugging into the device with, like, the keyboard or the mouse or anything else. You're plugging into a, you know, to a short little jumper. So that if they were to booger that up somehow, you know, you'd loosen something up, and then, you know, you just have to replace that little jumper. But just make all the stuff that's, you know, related to the computer itself just locked down and untouchable, unbangable, can't throw anything on it, can't dump anything on it.
It'd be a smarter way of doing things.
That's why we're not millionaires.
Yep, we're out of the loop anymore on that. That seems to fall under IT these days. They want to get their fingers involved in everything, except the actual work part. You know, they don't mind specking the stuff, buying the stuff, selling the stuff, but they don't want to install it. And they'll manage it, providing they don't got to leave their chair. If they got to leave their chair, then they call us. Oh, you actually have to go out there and jack into it and push this upgrade to it. You know, then we'll call radio. You know, but we'll manage it all from the chair. Nah, you see, that don't work that way. So it's like, I just hate being this middle guy that does all the actual work while they do all the virtual work.
Yeah, my office is like that. You know, you give me a tool to use, but then you restrict that tool, so I can't use it the way I need to use it. And like, oh no, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's like, well then, I expect you to do my job with a brick that I can't use. It's ridiculous.
Oh, we got plenty of that stuff too. I got all kinds of tools with some with restrictions on using. But it is what it is. I agree with you, Sean. They want to manage everything from the chair, but when it comes to getting out in the field, it's oh my God, you would have thought the apocalypse happened.
Yeah, but enough bitching on that. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. It's funny because I grew up, you know, in service. I've been in radio service since the 70s, late 70s, very late. But service was always, you know, a certain thing. If we had ever ran our service operation, even today, if I'd run my service operation, like IT runs their service operation, you know, they're part of it, we'd be out of business. We couldn't operate that way. So it's utterly ridiculous, you know, between help desks and tickets and, you know. I ordered a monitor. Secretary had a 24-inch monitor on her company-supplied computer, needed a second one. I could have went to Micro Center, purchased that monitor, been back with it, the same day, had it up and running. But because it was one of the couple of computers we purchased through IT, I went through the proper channels. Ordered it in October. They wrote me back at the end of October, said they had all the funding and everything and the money they needed, and so that was good to go. They put it in about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm like, for a monitor, it's like, oh my God, can you imagine running a service operation like that?
That sounds like me. Well, now they're giving me, we have this new thing called first time tech. So every one of us out in the field have all identical parts, whether we need them or not, whether we're qualified to use them or not. So if I'm in Detroit and I need a certain part, I go, oh, well, there's a guy in Warren. We'll send him down here to give you the parts. You can check his ticket. Sometimes it's not the right part, but they believe it is the right part. It's ridiculous. It's dumb. So I'm carrying more inventory than I need to carry, and I don't use it.
That's okay. You'll be the guy that has all the spare computers in Detroit, and now that you're spare, it's gone. But we can't. skip it. I may have to take an overnighter trip and take a computer up to my counterpart at the Nagani office because we were told we can't ship computers. We physically have to take them when they're already in our possession.
Hey, man, that sounds like a... That sounds like an easy day at the office. You get paid overtime and mileage and all that other happy stuff?
Oh, no. I'll take their car, but I'm still getting paid. I'll make it a 10-hour day at least. At least. But, yeah.
So where has Nagani?
I think I got out of rotation. So don't.
Yeah, I'm still here. I just picked up a phone call. I had to turn around and go back downtown by the Presbyterian church because the door that I put the time schedule in to unlock is not unlocking. So now I got to go back there and fix it.
Uh-oh. I'm going back downtown. Sean, your question. Nagani is about 6 miles west of Marquette on 41.
Like Marquette. Marquette's, is that UP?
Smack dab in the middle.
When the heck are you going to do that in 10 hours? There and back in 10?
Oh, no, 10 per day, overnight, hotel room, up one day, back the next.
All right, that makes more sense. I was a little confused. So, that's when you said, I thought that was up in the UP, and you said 10 hours. I'm like, how's that working? Take you 10 to get to Mackinac and back on a good day. So, all right, I got you now.
All right, come on, jump out. I gotta go fix this door. Can't you? You gotta be safe out there.
Do it right this time, Tom. Okay.
Great. My coworker just heard that I was on the phone with him too. Funny, huh? He's a funny guy. He's a regular. All right, guys. I'll talk to you in a bit. KCKJ, clear.
Yeah, my buddy called me today. He's like, I'm going to try to get the computer working, but I don't know how it's going to go. I may need a spare one because everything else is being used. Can't rob Peter to pay Paul. So, although the funny thing is they're coming to end of life because of the new CAD system we're going through. We're getting all new computers. So a Band-Aid project for now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I get running it up there, but I'm surprised you don't got somebody making that, you know, you're almost making that run anyhow you could farm it off to. I mean, internal, obviously, but troop or something like that, transport. But anywho, now there you go. You taking extra parts? I mean, is he going to try it? And if that's not it, you got any other bag of tricks?
Nah, he's got some things he's going to try, but we don't have spare parts for him. I got 6 spare, ready-to-go computers sitting in my office. So all he has to do is change some programming and plug it all in, and it should fire right up.
You better run them, too.
Oh, I probably am going to do that anyway because one of them he's going to need for the new CAD system because they're going to end up having to put it on there before we get the new one. So he's getting 2, and I'm probably going to drop 2 off in Gaylord on my way. There's 2 go there, and then 2 for me, and then 2 for Lansing. But Lansing can come and get his. He's got cars. He can make the drive to Detroit to get them.
You'll have to take the scenic route and go see Brother Dan, his new place. I think it's just a little off the beaten path, although the snow might be prohibitive. Don't know about that. All right, Nick, well, have fun. I don't know when you're making that trip, but in this frigid cold, if you're doing it this week, just be pack your goulash as you know it. I don't know what to expect up there, but it's probably pretty exciting.
Yeah, I don't know when I'm going to make it. He wasn't sure what was going to happen, so probably after I get back from vacation. He would try to make it work with something until then, and then we'll figure it out after. So probably after the 4th, after I get back, take a night, take a drive. So. All right, we'll catch you later. WNFC Clearmont.
Well, that'll be a heck of a lot better than this week. So wait for it to next week's supposed to be a little better. All right, I'm home. Catch ya. I'll be at a few.
Nothing more than programming the wrong door. Easy gets you.
KF8AYL monitoring.
NADBF.
DBF, I hear you. How are you doing this afternoon?
Better now that I'm out of work, headed home. How about you?
Same deal. Although I don't have to drive, I'm been a long day at work and just finishing my cigar here and hoping for the best.
Do you work from home?
Most of the time, yeah, that's affirmative.
My previous job, I used to work from home, and it was, there, I should say, 80% of the time I was at home, and it was pretty nice. Quick time was you were already home versus having to get there.
Yeah, it's a different experience. I mean, until 2019 or 2020, I used to go in all the time, and they wanted a discount at COVID, so I gave them their discount, and I said, I'm not going in anymore. I said for years before that, I'm like, I could do this job remotely, but you need to go in every now and again, and I do. I still go in every now and again, but yeah, it actually can be a lot more stressful sometimes, because you're not sitting face-to-face with people. And even if you go for a few months, sometimes people don't even know who the heck you are. You know, it helps to have a face.
What do you do for work? My previous job, I was a network engineer, so same thing. I could do 90% of it from home. Really only went out for, you know, appointments and installations and whatnot. But a lot of that was the main reason I left was I wanted to get back in the office for that very reason. You know, it was hard to have relationships and you know, a healthy environment when you never see the people you work with daily. So change roles, change companies, and back in the office 5 days a week, and I'll moan about it and the traffic, but I do enjoy it while I'm there.
Yeah, I hear you. I do IT work. I do database, PLM, CAD databases, that kind of stuff for automotive. One of my major customers is Honda in Central Ohio. So, yeah, it's a three-hour drive down there, but I still do go there every few months, but most of it's just remote.
I'm sure going there, though, is a nice little treat. It kind of gets you out of, quote, office for the day, and hopefully you don't have to pay for the gas and the food and all that fun stuff. You get to do the whole song and dance for the clients on the company's dime.
Well, I'm an independent contractor for them, so I got to pay for it all myself. But yeah, it's all flows on my business records, of course. But yeah, no, go. Yeah, I actually do like going down there a couple times a year now. It's a good thing.
I used to have a client at my old job up in Traverse City, and it was not uncommon for me to go there and back for an hour meeting all on the same day. So I don't miss that aspect, but I do miss, traveling a little bit and seeing new people. Now I'm corporate, and there's definitely perks to that, and I prefer it, but, the freedom to do what you want when you want was also pretty nice. So you said down there, I'm assuming you're in Michigan. Whereabouts?
I'm coming at you from Birch Run, Michigan right now. But yeah, I hear you. It's from about 2004 to 2020, I was down in Central Ohio every other week at a minimum, and there was almost no break. So I kind of enjoy the fact that, you want a discount? I'll give you the discount. I'm not going to go down there as much. And now I go down there once a quarter, and that kind of thing. And yeah, it works out.
You should have negotiated a vehicle for commuting.
I actually tried that. They're pretty anal about giving out their vehicles. It's a really weird thing with them. Yeah, I've done work for Ford and for GM, and yeah, they'll give you a vehicle for the weekend or to do whatever. Honda? No. They're not giving out their vehicles. Nope.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that. You would think it would be like, sure, saves us money, no problem. We've got plenty of them, but I guess there's probably legalities and all kinds of other stuff that come into play. And the big three, I don't even think they know where all their vehicles are at most of the time.
Yeah, the few times I got to actually operate a Honda corporate vehicle, it's a huge process. You got to check them out, and there's all this paperwork that goes along with it. It's like, God, man, geez. Yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just going to take my own car and go to your suppliers and do whatever I need to do to support the contract that I have with you. Yeah, it's a little bit different.
So you say you're a database guy. I'm assuming you're not talking about Access database. Are you into the SQL stuff or the AWS stuff or what?
No, mostly DB2. I do some Oracle, but mostly a DB2 guy, and I do the CAD support for around that, which is a Dassault system. So yeah, it's kind of a niche thing.
took the words right out of my mouth because I am far, 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 far from a database guy. I barely even know how to, I honestly don't even really interact with them a whole lot, but there's not many guys out there that know it inside and out or are actually good at it. What's your call one more time? I might, if you're an independent contractor, I might keep you in my back pocket because we're going through some adjustments and internal changes as well.
The call is, my name's Ken here, and the call is KF8AYL, Kilo Foxtrot 8 Alpha Yankee Lima.
All right, copy that. I appreciate it. Yeah, we're in that transitionary phase where we're heavy in Excel, and I keep pushing that Excel's not a database, and we need to continue to move off of it, and slowly but surely we are, but there's still a lot of things that are done manually in a giant spreadsheet with a million plus lines. So you've got Dakota here. I'm in the IT side of things, but not as focused as you are.
Well, what's your actual line of work? Who are you working for?
I don't know that I've disclosed it on the air, but let's just say it's a rather large garbage company in Southeast Michigan, and it's myself and one other guy that are kind of holding down the fort on the IT front. We are partnered with an MSP, but for the most part, it's him and I. We're all things IT, you know, except for the niche stuff. We've got partners for things like that.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm not looking for specifics. Yeah, I hear you. But, yeah, it pays the bills. That's all I can say.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think I would, I don't think I would change career choices at any point. I'm quite happy where I'm at right now and where I'm going. But I was just talking about this with my mom and my sister and, you know, my other sister who worked for the government that just got laid off, and I'm like, career choices are probably, I mean, next to who you marry, that's probably the most important decision you're ever going to make. And I'm watching people struggle or unhappy, and it's like, man, I'm kind of glad I decided to be the nerd.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. I went to college for civil engineering, and I landed the job at a firm, and I started doing their IT stuff, and then I just kind of transferred into that. It was really, at the time it was like, do I know what I'm doing? I'm not sure, and I know what I'm doing, but this feels right. I'm just gonna go. I'm going with this.
Even better that you didn't even go to school for it, and now you're an independent contractor for doing databases. So are you self-taught? Did you do any, you know, extra certifications or whatnot, or did you just bury your head in it and learn it?
I have zero certifications, and I just get the job done for whatever the customer says they want. I just do it, and that's all that's required.
And ADBF or ID. I think that's like the biggest part of, at least in my, I've been in the field for 9, going on 10 years. And from my experience, that's kind of it, right? Like, it doesn't matter what you have on paper. You can figure it out and get it done.
Yeah, a lot of these companies have so many offshore guys that they're contracting people do, but when somebody comes along that can actually do problem solving and do certain things that they just can't get from, you know, contracting with the big service providers, they tend to keep you on and they'll pay you. It's okay.
Before before I got this role, I was kind of doing, not full-time. I was still 40-plus, 50-plus as a W-2, but I was doing some consulting on the side, and it was the same thing. I heard so many stories of people just, A, they can't find anybody, or B, they find people that cost a fortune and didn't give the results they'd hoped for, and, you come in and say, do X, Y, and Z, and all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, that's so much easier and so much more affordable, and it's like everyone's got a different outlook on how they do things, but I keep joking with my wife. I'm like, one day I'm just going to say, I'm done, and I'm just going to go be a consultant, but I think, being able to solve a problem, critically analyze a situation, and produce a result, that to me is IT in any way, shape, or form in a nutshell.
That's exactly right. Being able to look at a problem and solve it instead of just checking boxes of like, I'm a help desk guy or, doing something. Yeah, it's you got to be able to actually solve, you look at a situation and solve a problem. That's the only thing.
And solve it, don't band-aid it. So for my own data point, how long have you been a ham now that I know you're in the IT world? I feel like they go hand in hand, but I also know a lot of IT people that are not hams.
Well, you just met an IT guy that's a ham. So this is KFAYL for IT.
Do you play on any of the HF stuff, or are you a UHF, VHF kind of guy?
I'm just a tech, so I do UHF and VHF. That's around me. Yeah, I'm in Birch Run, so I'm kind of, between Flint and Saginaw here, and there's a few repeaters around, but I'm talking on the BERT repeater right now, which is a UHF that's linked to you guys down south. I'm pretty sure you're down south, right?
Yes, sir. I got to pull up the node map or the bubble chart and see where this thing goes. I feel like I knew the BERT repeater was there, but I think there's one in Flint, too. But, yeah, I'm coming in. Right now I'm on the Richmond, Michigan repeater. I was on the Warren repeater, which is, I don't know how familiar you are with down here, but I was on Hall Road, M59, I don't know if that rings a bell, but I work down there. I live about 35 minutes north, about 30 minutes southeast of Flint, Elmont, so there's quite a few down here. They're all linked together, and occasionally I'll get to meet people like you that are not from the area, and then it reminds me that this is a huge network.
Yeah, it's a pretty big link network. Yeah, I grew up down in Detroit area, so I know all those locations. I know Hall Road, I know Richmond, I know them all. And the Sean's WFBI or repeater network there, but yeah, that's all linked in now to stuff up here.
Yep, Sean kind of helmered me. I got my license in 2022. Him and a silent key, Don, WA80, those guys kind of got me into the hobby after I got tech. And then, lo and behold, there was this huge network because that was the main reason I ever wanted to get my license. I was like, well, who am I going to talk to? And then, you jump on the air and find out there's all kinds of hands.
Yeah, the old Professor Don, if that's who you were talking about, he's one of your...
Hero, Foxtrot, Charlie, Delta, November, Bonnetrack.
He was the one who encouraged me to go get my ham, so I did, and...
Yeah, I called Reston Delta, November.
Hey, Breaking Station, is there a QSO on this network? Are you guys aware of that?
radio coming through on my microphone.
Oh, I don't know. It sounded like they were sounded like they're on the repeater, but yeah, I was referring to Professor Don, rest in peace, awesome guy. Him and Sean were my first contacts ever after I got my ticket, so but yeah, there's a good group of guys down here. I don't know if you're involved with anything up there, but we try to stay active, try to keep the dust off the repeaters down here.
Hey, Dakota. Someone, N8NM, linked us to some repeater in Florida.
Go ahead, Dakota.
Thanks, Eric. Are they still linked up?
It appears to be. They're coming in through Sean's HQ node. So, I don't know. I think I heard him out there earlier talking, so maybe he just forgot to disconnect. I don't know. I've done it before. Someone else just connected. Anyhow, all right, I'm watching the dashboard right now.
Yeah, I don't mind if they jump in. Just, you know, don't double. Anyway, but I forgot too that I was local ham KF8S just texted me and said that I forgot that I was on Fusion too, and I forgot that Dave did once was AZ8B. Sorry, Dave, if I botched your call, but yeah, he definitely helped Elmer me and still Elmers me with all the HF projects and things like that. So. Have you given that any thought, just out of curiosity?
KV8CSI.
Go ahead, Greg.
Good afternoon. I think you're on your way home.
Yep, almost there.
Ah, very good. Yeah, I got some. I'm going on 24 mile with them to pick up some sushi for dinner. And yeah, they got one lane closed, so I'm doing the one lane at a time thing twice before I get home. Yay.
Where do you get your sushi? That sounds really good. Where do you get sushi from?
A place called Umi, U-M-I. Umi Sushi. 23 mile, right where Walmart is, a little strip mall there.
Was it you that told me about that place before? I love my sushi. Like, sushi rolls are good, but I'm like a sashimi nigiri kind of guy. I like the raw fish.
Yeah, I think it's come up because we figured it could be on your way home. Just jump off 23 mile there, grab it, jump back on. And they have that sashimi as well. I don't know what that other thing you mentioned is, so I'm not sure. But they got a website, very wonky, but you can at least check them out.
Have we talked about poke fish?
Negative.
So if you like sushi, at Hall and Chainer, where Bagger Days used to be, next to where Gander Mountain and Gander Outdoors used to be, there's poke fish, or poke bowl, I can't remember. I think it's poke fish, and they have poke bowls, which are chunks of fish, rice, veggies, the whole nine. I don't know if you've ever had a poke bowl, but I could live on them. And now I really wish I would have thought about that as I drove past it on my way home.
Oh, I remember seeing that after Bagger Dave's closed, and I went, what the heck is that? And it didn't really appeal to me, but maybe now I'll check it out.
It's like a lazy man sushi. It's just chunks of fish. It's like all the ingredients separated that you would take in a roll, but super, super good. A little on the pricey side for how much food you get, but it is raw fish, and I haven't gotten sick from it in the 6 years, 7 years I've been eating it, so take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I don't worry about that too much, you know, as long as you're not going to a real spicy place, you should be all right. But all right, cool. Maybe next time I get a hankering, I'll stop in there.
Yeah, I still got to try that umi, too. Maybe I'll grab it from, well, kind of far for lunch, but it's probably worth it. I'm always sketchy about trying new sushi joints, you know what I mean? I feel like once you find your place, you just keep going to that place.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, this one's close and easy. They do a good job. It's not super top here. I mean, I've had better, but not around here. Best sushi I ever had was in Delaware, but that's a long way. Then there was that place on West Utica and Mound that was there for years. It's gone now. I forget the name of it, but that was used to be my go-to place. And then I last time, I don't know, a few months ago, I went to a place somebody recommended it. We're right back to umi, so there you go. I feel the same way.
At ADBF. There was another station in here. I don't know where he went. Anyway, yeah, I used to go to Yarkobi, I don't know how to pronounce it, in downtown Romeo. Really good sushi, but just way overpriced, and I feel like that's how everything in Romeo is. Just, it's turning into a wannabe Rochester, and, like, you go there and a roll is $18, but very good sushi if you're ever out that way, too.
Yeah, it's been forever. I don't remember the name of the place. It's probably the same place. My wife worked in Romeo, so, yeah, I've been there probably a couple times.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now I want sushi, and I'm nowhere near it.
Hang on. You'll get it tomorrow. There you go. Yeah, I did hear that other station. She was in the northern area somewhere. I don't know where he ended up. And then I'm pulling into my sub, so I'm going to get inside and feast. So enjoy the rest of your ride home. KJPFI.
Sounds good, Greg. Yeah, I'm about 2 minutes out here myself, so good timing. I'll catch up with you later. NATDF.
WRUG 488, WRMZ 640.
KFA Delta Charlie Zulu, CQ.
T8BB.